Hi friends, welcome to another episode of The Media Matters. I'm your host Chantel, and tonight I have my popsicle twin with me, the one and only Marie Rose.
Hello everybody.
Do you get that? My popsicle twin?
I do.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, like the two little...
You do know what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, you would break them apart, yeah, and share them with your friend.
For your bestie.
Yeah.
Oh, that, see, this is why I love you.
Because we're such a sweet pair.
We are. And right now I want a popsicle. Now that I said that.
I could go get a bottle of wine.
That would do as well. Tonight we're surrounding ourselves in mothballs and praying the wings away. What in the pesticide are we talking about? Why Mothman, of course. Before we take on the boogeyman, I want to shout out this episode, which is number 50.
No way.
Yes,
you're kidding.
We did it.
Oh, wow.
I know. I'm so excited.
Wow.
I know. So, you guys, it literally takes a village. This milestone is because and for all of us. This show brings me so much happiness. It keeps me laughing and thinking, always makes me work harder than the day before. It forces me to grow in incredible ways and definitely gets me out of my comfort zone. I am so honored to call every one of you family and that I get to hang out with you guys on the daily, day in and day out, and get to know you, and that I have gotten to share damn near 50 episodes with Marie Rose, the Marie Rose.
Wow.
There is one, you guys, there's only one, and I have her. So here's to many, many, many more episodes and kick-ass years together as the Media Matters family.
Well, you know what? You know what we're going to do?
What?
When we're done recording, we're going to go and have a glass of wine and celebrate.
I like it.
We are.
I like it.
To the 5-0.
Yes, to the 5-0. It has been a long road. It's been a fun road. It's been an exhausting road.
Yeah.
It's been a challenging road in really great ways. I'm excited. So anybody out there that is like thinking of starting something that makes them happy, do it. Do it. The worst that's going to happen is you're going to fail. That's the absolute worst. And if you know that up front, then there's no surprise.
Right. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's a lessons learned, and you do something bigger, better, and you get some experience under your belt.
That's right. And hopefully you have a bestie that you can do it with. And if not, that's all right. Be your own bestie. It's fine.
Yeah.
And tell us where to find you. We'll check you out. It's all good. That said, I love connecting with you guys on social media. Make sure you hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Media Matters, on Instagram and Facebook at The Media Matters, on email at themediamatters@gmail.com, and via courier pigeon. Well, you know, anywhere, because pigeons can fly. If there's something strange in your neighborhood, you can jot it down and email it to me at themediamatters@gmail.com or via DM on the show's social media pages to be part of the show. I triple promise I will personally read and reply to your messages and contact you to make arrangements for you to tell your true life ghost story or stories right here on The Media Matters. That's right, you guys, something to cross off your bucket list. But I said it before and I'll say it again, there is absolutely no pressure for you to be on the show. We are more than happy to read your story or stories on your behalf if being on the show is not your jam. There is no judgment, just good, clean, scary fun. It is tarot time. In addition to our weekly tarot talk, we are hitting you with 31 August days of readings from the Marie Rose. What? It's true, you guys. 31 of our friends to the show will be selected by Marie herself to receive a tarot reading. Here are the deets. You can submit one and only one question to Marie at hellomarierose@gmail.com. Your question may not relate to health or legal issues. Marie will randomly select one person per day and will contact the reading recipient to notify them of their selection and work out the details of their tarot reading. Marie, what can you tell us that you haven't already told us about the tarot readings that are personalized for our friends?
Well, they are private, and I will take a picture of your tarot spread and send you the details of the reading. And all I ask in return is some kind of confirmation, validation, or non-validation, you know, saying, yeah, this was way off, but, you know, and that's okay. It's learning. It's growing. And but, you know, if in 2 or 3 weeks or a month or whatever, you come back and say, okay, it ended up being this. It did end up being something. Then please let me know that too. This is growing the old tarot muscle. So we will see.
It's true. And we've said it before. Sometimes the information doesn't become clear right away. It takes time. That is A-okay. But yeah, your feedback is always, always helpful. But remember, be nice. Be nice to my Ruri Rose. Without further ado, let's get down with this week's tarot talk, which is brought to us by the one and only Marie Rose. Take it away.
So today's card, as we talk about the Mothman.
And I know you're very excited to talk about Mothman.
Oh, gosh. The things you drag me into. So this is the Three of Pentacles. And when I first drew the card, it's like, oh, my gosh, this is so dark. You know, it's dark like the Mothman. I mean, look at that. It's almost all black. Right?
It looks inviting and like it looks kind of chill, though.
It is.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what it is, it's a nun and a monk, and they're watching a sculptor work on a carving he's doing for the church. And, you know, what I see are two people standing there with a set of plans looking at the guy who's actually doing the work.
Sure. That's what we all do.
Right. And so the three pentacles decorate the archway in this church. And in numerology, three represents completion. So, you know, in drawing this card, what it means, what it represents is a material increase. It is the card for the artist and the master craftsman, and basically maybe a bump in pay, but just basically a gain in transactions. So
interesting.
Yeah. So, long story short, cha-ching, cha-ching. For artists.
Mm. Mm.
So you never know.
Get it, artists.
So yeah, for artists and for craftsmen and so on and so forth. But it's funny because look at the artist. Look at his face. He's like looking at these people like, would you leave me alone so I can finish my work? And they're holding plans like they're supervising or something.
Can I look at
it? Yeah. Cracks me up.
Yeah. They're like, oh no, you're doing it wrong. And he's going to hit him with whatever tool is in his hands.
Right.
He's like standing on a bench so he can reach up high because.
Yeah, he's working mm-hmm. on a statue or something in the church. And
yeah.
And they're just there giving advice. And I am sure it was unsolicited.
Or it almost looks like they're standing off to the side just, you know, gossiping, spilling the tea. They're like, oh, look at him. He thinks he's an artiste.
You think that they're criticizing?
They might be. I mean, look at this guy's head. It's like all cocked to the side and he's like, seriously, that's your best, sir.
Yeah. So, well,
that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. So the artist is getting paid.
Yes.
So they feel like because they're paying him, they can stand there and mock and say whatever they feel like.
Well, we're assuming he's getting paid. I mean, I know a lot of artists do work for the church for free. But I'm sure there are some that are commissioned as well.
Yeah. I hope he's getting a little something for putting up with those too.
Yeah. Cause they are looking kind of judgy, aren't they?
They are looking judgy, especially that guy.
Especially the monk.
Yeah. Yeah. That guy, the monk. Well, you guys resonate with that. Sit on it, stew on it, sleep on it, whatevs. See how it touches your soul. And for Marie Rose, thank you for that awesome tarot talk to carry us through the week.
You are welcome, my dear.
This week's Can't Resist Crystal is the one and only Smoky Quartz.
I love that one.
I know.
Oh, that was like one of my first larger purchases. I saw one and it cost, oh yeah. It was like a small wand. And it's just, I love it.
I think of you when I think Smoky Quartz, and it must be the early love that you showed it.
Probably.
Because that was like one of your first, wasn't it?
It was one of my first.
Yeah, I thought so.
I saw it. I had to have it. I had to.
Don't we always?
It was, yeah.
You know, today I had this like deep desire to run and find you and say, let's go to Stone Soup so we can get some crystals.
Oh, why didn't you?
Because I was all over the place today.
I know. So was I. But it would have been fun just to daydream about it for a minute.
It would have. Like, I have not had this like burning desire in a very long time. And out of nowhere, I was like, must get crystals.
No, this morning, I was thinking, oh gosh, I need to go to the rock shop. Mm-hmm. I need to go do something. Mm-hmm. And I thought about Stone Soup also.
Yeah.
But I was just, okay, let me get on with my day.
Yeah. Because Stone Soup is just closer to us right now where our
office is.
Yeah, our job is. But no, I had this like deep desire today. I was like, what the hell? Where did this come from?
Oh, too bad we didn't go. Or at least talk about going.
I know. I'm kind of glad we didn't, because I wouldn't have been able to go, and then I would have been mad. I would have thrown a 3-year-old tantrum. Mm-hmm.
Maybe this weekend.
Smoky quartz. Per energymuse.com, because you guys know that's my jam. I love it. So the smoky quartz is one of the most powerful grounding gemstones that helps connect you to the energy of the earth. It helps you to keep your feet on the ground and remain balanced in any situation. Even the most spacey and scattered individuals can become fully functional and collected by wearing smoky quartz jewelry or carrying smoky quartz stones. Wear a smoky quartz bracelet to stimulate and balance all of your chakras, specifically focusing on cleansing the root chakra to ground you. It is grounding in a very uplifting way, providing a more subtle energy than other grounding gemstones like hematite, which, crazy, we'll be talking about hematite soon. Or we just talked about hematite.
Yeah.
Depending on the order. Smoky quartz stone jewelry is also particularly effective in removing negative energy from your body and protecting you from negative and harmful energies that may reside in your environment. It helps to remove any mental and physical blockages, relieving pain, anger, and resentment. I should be covered in smoky quartz right now.
Why? Do you have a lot of anger and resentment?
I feel like I have mental and physical blockages, maybe some aches and pains here and there. I might be angry. I'm not sure.
You don't know whether you're angry or not.
It's TBD. Smoky quartz jewelry emits a high level of energy, working to transmute and absorb all negative energy from the body. It is a very beneficial healing gemstone for pain relief because it carries a strong connection to the earth. In terms of feng shui, the energy of smoky quartz works very well close to the front door of your home. This is where it will serve you best in terms of its protective properties. Place a smoky quartz generator, cluster, or smoky quartz stones by your front door to prevent negative and harmful energies from coming into your home.
That's what I need in my life next.
Yes.
A smoky quartz cluster. I need that in my life.
I would like to build my door out of smoky quartz.
Ooh.
My front door, right? Do you think that's a thing?
No.
No?
No. I can't see that. It'd be beautiful, but...
It would be beautiful.
I can't see any kind of stone being a front door.
It'd be so kick-ass.
Maybe an inlay in the glass in the front door. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, but not an
maybe
actual...
Maybe like a thin layer that's just like on the inside.
Yeah, I can't.
Where it's not like all up in the elements. I don't know. You can also place smoky quartz stones in your child's room, close to a big window, or in your home office. Its protective energies will prove very beneficial in these areas as well. Smoky quartz stone bracelets are wonderful for children to wear to school or when you are not with them to protect them from negative energies and to keep them grounded and focused. For more information on the wonderful and magnificent smoky quartz stone, check out Energy Muse or any site or book that resonates with you. And make sure you wrap this little baby all around your body and your environment, because it is a wonderful one.
Yeah, I actually take my smoky quartz no matter where I go to travel, and I pair it with a selenite and grid whatever room
that is
I'm staying
powerful.
In, and I grid whatever hotel room, whatever. And smoky quartz is one of the crystals I use to grid the room with for protection.
I like it. There you have it, guys. The smoky quartz, the crystal of the week, the tarot talk of the week. And now on to the show. It's time to travel back in time to, well, a simpler time when man-sized creatures flew about wreaking havoc, because why not? Why not? Approximately 7 feet tall, wingspan over 10 feet wide, gray, scaly skin, large, red glowing and hypnotic eyes, able to take off straight up in flight without flapping its wings, travels up to 100 miles an hour, likes to mutilate or eat large dogs, screeches or squeals like a rodent or electric motor, likes to chase cars, likes to nest in remote unpopulated areas, causes radio and television interference, drawn to and protective of small children, has some mind control powers.
What?
Yes, I am describing a fantasy world to you, Marie Rose.
Yeah, you are.
Mm-hmm. It is said to be a cryptid. And in the cryptozoology world, cryptids include Bigfoot, the Chupacabra, and others in this realm. Related pseudosciences include young earth, creationism, ghost hunting, and ufology, I believe. This is where the Mothman lies.
Ufology, is that a word?
Ufology?
I feel like ufology is ufology.
She just flipped me off, guys. This is where the Mothman lies. I was going to say the Bigfoot. The Mothman. So here we go, you guys. I hope that I've given you a good description of Mothman. Picture it. November 16th, 1966. The first article about Mothman hits the streets in the Point Pleasant Register. It is titled, Couple Sees Man-Sized Bird, Creature, Something. It was a bird or something. It definitely wasn't a flying saucer. Two Point Pleasant couples said they encountered a man-sized bird-like creature in the TNT area after midnight last night. Sheriff's deputies and city police went to the scene about 2 o'clock this morning, but were unable to spot anything. But the two young men telling their story this morning were deadly serious and asserted they hadn't been drinking. Steve Mallett of 305 Jackson Avenue and Roger Scarberry of 809 30th Street described the thing as being about 6 or 7 feet tall, having a wingspan of 10 feet, and red eyes about 2 inches in diameter and 6 inches apart. It was like a man with wings, Mallett said. It wasn't like anything you'd see on TV or in a monster movie. The men and their wives were in Scarberry's car between 11:30 p.m. and midnight when they spotted the creature near the old power plant adjacent to the old National Guard Armory buildings. The creature was seen standing on 3 occasions and was described as being extremely fast. It flew about 100 miles an hour in flight, but was a clumsy runner. Deputy Millard Halstead said he had seen dust in the vicinity of a coal field, but it could have been caused by the bird, he said. I'm a hard guy to scare, Scarberry said, but last night I was getting out of there. They did just that, but the thing followed them. They said it was hovering over their car, apparently gliding, until they reached the National Guard Armory on Route 62. We went downtown, turned around and went back, and there it was again, Mallett said. It seemed to be waiting on us. He said the light gray-like creature then scurried through a field. It had also flown across the top of the car. It apparently is afraid of light, Mallett reasoned, and maybe it thought it was scaring us off. The young men said they saw the creature's eyes, which glowed red, only when their lights shined on it, and it seemed to want to get away from the lights. They said it looked like a man with wings, but that its head was not an outstanding characteristic. Both were slightly pale and tired from lack of sleep during the night following their harrowing experience. They speculated that the thing was living in the vacant power plant, possibly in one of the huge boilers. There are pigeons in all of the other buildings, Mallett said, but not in that one. If I had seen it while by myself, I wouldn't have said anything, Scarberry commented, but there were 4 of us who saw it. They said it didn't resemble a bat in any way, but, quote, maybe what you would visualize as an angel. The last time they saw it was at the gate of the C.C. Lewis farm on Route 62. They heard a sound like wings flapping, and they said the bird rose straight up like a helicopter. This doesn't have an explanation to it, Mallet said. It was an animal, but nothing like I've seen before. Are they coming back to look for the creature? Yes, Mallet said. This afternoon and again tonight. Today, Scarberry said, but tonight, I don't know. That is the very first news article about Mothman. Dun, dun, dun. That's right.
So what I like is that they celebrate this. They celebrate this. So on September 21st and 22nd, they are going to have the 18th annual Mothman Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And that cracks me up. So they hold this event every third weekend in September to commemorate the Point Pleasant sighting. And so people from all over the world come to this thing to celebrate this event. So activities include visiting, and yes, they do have a Mothman Museum.
I saw that.
Oh my gosh, they have hay rides, a 5K. They even have a Mothman pageant, which not a lot of people dress up as Mothman. You have your pretty little girls, and it's a typical pageant. You just
and
get
I
to
assume
be,
the Mothman would love that.
Right. A costume contest, bands, paranormal guest speakers, which I think is cool. And of course, they have cosplay, too. So it's West Virginia's very own Comic-Con.
Interesting. Yeah. All around Mothman.
Mothman.
Mm-hmm.
A Mothman festival.
That's right.
That cracks me up.
That's right. And what led to this Mothman festival? Let's go back in time to the second news article printed in the Point Pleasant Register. So we're going back to November 21st, 1966. Things are still crazy. And if you'll remember, that very first article was from November 16th when those two couples were in the TNT area around midnight and saw several times this creature that was later deemed Mothman. Fast forward to November 21st. Calls, letters, and rumors continue to plague the Mason County Sheriff's Office from persons offering information on the so-called bird that was spotted in Mason County last Tuesday night. However, the original four persons who reported their experience to Deputy Sheriff Millard Halstead are not convinced that the creature is a bird. Dr. Robert Smith of the West Virginia University Biology Department said the description fits that of a sandhill crane, but Mr. and Mrs. Roger Scarberry contend that the creature they saw around midnight Tuesday had the shape more like that of a man, but had a wide wing spread and red eyes.
And cranes don't move as fast as they describe.
Right, cranes, or shoot cranes, up into the air like a helicopter.
Right, cranes are kind of more slow moving and mm-hmm. graceful. They don't have the movements that the Scarberries are describing.
But this is typical when something is not seen firsthand, it's misunderstood, you kind of throw things at it till something sticks.
Right.
And in this case, like, what else could they describe it as but a crane?
Yeah.
Not just any crane, a sandhill crane.
A mm-hmm. big bird.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Meanwhile, Halstead said four other persons said they saw the creature Saturday night on Camp Conley Road, about 1 mile back from the main highway on State Route 62. Four youths, Billy Burdett, 16, Daryl Love, 18, Johnny Love, 14, and John Morrow, 14, all of Point Pleasant, Route 2, described it as having red eyes and said when they got close to it, it flew off. Hundreds of sightseers have toured the TNT area since the report by local news media Wednesday, but during the weekend, traffic tapered off after some authorities labeled it as a sandhill crane. Halstead said today he had received two letters from persons across the country who were offering information in an attempt to identify it. A Silver Springs, Maryland resident, Henry J. Frey, said he had read the account in the Washington Daily News. Frey said he is an authority on many subjects and has concluded from the description that it is a great blue heron. Thank you, Henry J. Frey.
Okay, I know great blue herons. Mm-hmm. I studied them in college. I've visited where they live. They do not have that movement at all.
Well, you can take it up with Henry J. Frey of Silver Springs, Maryland, ma'am.
I will.
Mm-hmm. He said these birds belong to a family of wandering birds. Halstead received another letter from Donald Birchfield, who lives in Altoona, Pennsylvania, and had picked it up in a local paper. He is of the opinion that it is also a sandhill crane. It was also reported the sandhill crane has a bigger population than 30, as reported earlier. This has been your news. So November 28th, 1966, there's still reports of this bird, people coming forward with their accounts of what it could be, more people coming forward with sightings, having seen this. There are police reports, the actual reports from Linda Scarberry, the police report from Mary Mallett and Roger Scarberry. And I mean, there's so much information on the things that happened initially and the descriptions from these people. And truth be told, Mothman sightings go back to the mid-1850s. I mean, this goes way back. And that's just the stuff that's been reported / recorded. I mean,
I guess, you know, there could be something to it that's, mm-hmm. but it's, I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah, it's true. And right before the Scarberries and the, was it the Mallets?
Yes, the Mallets.
Yeah, right before they had their sighting on November 15th of 1966, on November 12th of the same year, five men were digging a grave at a cemetery in West Virginia and claimed to have seen a man-like figure fly low from the trees over their heads. And this wasn't reported till afterward, I believe. So the first account was from the two couples. During the next few days, other people reported similar sightings. Two volunteer firemen who saw it said it was a large bird with red eyes. Mason County Sheriff George Johnson commented that he believed the sightings were due to an unusually large heron he termed as shitepoke. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Contractor Noel Partridge told Johnson that when he aimed a flashlight at a creature in a nearby field, its eyes glowed like bicycle reflectors, and blamed buzzing noises from his television set and the disappearance of his German Shepherd dog on the creature.
Oh no, yes. He lost his puppy.
But per the description that I read at the top of the show, this segment of the show, that is what the Mothman likes to do.
He likes to eat dogs.
And chase cars. Like a dog. It's true.
I don't like it.
So a lot of people are identifying the Mothman as a crane, as a heron. And what is it? We don't know. We're going to fast forward to December 15th, 1967. What happened on this day? The Silver Bridge collapsed. And what happened? 46 people lost their lives.
Well, that's terrible.
Yes, very terrible. The incident gave rise to the legend and connected the Mothman sightings to the bridge collapse. In 2002, the Mothman Prophecies is a major motion picture and is loosely based on the 1975 book of the same name by John Keel. According to the to a Georgian newspaper, Russian ufologist claimed that Mothman sightings in Moscow foreshadowed the 1999 Russian apartment bombings. Do you have more on that?
No, not on the Moscow incident.
In 2016, WCHS-TV published a photo purported to be that of Mothman taken by an anonymous man while driving on Route 2. Science writer Sharon A. Hill proposed that the photo showed a bird, perhaps an owl, carrying a frog or snake away, and wrote that there is zero reason to suspect it is the Mothman as described in legend. There are too many far more reasonable explanations. I don't know about that, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So over time, there have been several conspiracy theories surrounding the Mothman. Many link his mysterious arrival back to the 1700s. Chief Cornstalk, leader of the Shawnee Nation at the time, was wrongfully killed at Fort Randolph in 1777. Many believe he put a curse on the area just before he was killed, leading to tragedy in the city like the collapse of the Silver Bridge. This is, however, just a conspiracy theory. We could not contact Chief Cornstalk, leader of the Shawnee Nation at the time, to confirm those reports.
No.
Back to you, Marie.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. That's not... I feel like this is kind of like Bigfoot, where...
A lot of sightings, no proof.
Yeah, and so with Mothman, though, and I don't know this about Bigfoot, and I'm no expert on Mothman either. There has been there have been a lot of connections between Mothman and other tragedies around the world.
Yes.
So let's go into some of those. So Fukushima disaster, for example.
Okay.
So it's believed that, or, you know, it's theorized that Mothman and disasters are connected, and that maybe he is not, he, it, she, I don't know, is not a negative being, but one present to warn people.
But it eats dogs, so it can't be positive.
There are people that eat dogs.
No, not it's in my
true.
World.
It's true.
That doesn't exist in my world.
It's a thing.
I know, but it doesn't exist in my world.
I know. So let's dive into this one, the Fukushima disaster. Marcus Polis, an American visiting Japan, was out with a friend near the Fukushima plant when suddenly they heard a loud whooshing sound and a terrible screeching. As they looked back towards the plant, they saw a figure Polis described as large and black. From the distance I was at, it looked to be sitting on top of one of the squared-shaped buildings. It sat there for about 5 seconds, then it unfurled a large set of what I could only describe as large black wings. The creature took flight, circling the plant a few times before coming closer to them. And that's when I noticed the two large red eyes. They seemed to glow from within and with a blood-red hue. They were unblinking in the 3 to 4 seconds we saw them. We knew they were looking straight at us. We knew this creature knew we could see it, and it made no attempt to disguise itself. Poulos describes an immense feeling of dread that washed over him, and the creature vanished as quickly as it had appeared. It wasn't until Poulos was back home in America, hearing the news on CNN about the devastation of the Japanese earthquake and the explosions at the very same nuclear plant, power plant, where he had witnessed the creature, that he realized he may have seen the infamous harbinger of disaster known as the Mothman. Crazy.
That's nuts.
Yeah, that is very crazy. Do you have one, Marie?
Yes. So, I've got on April 26th in 1986 in the Soviet Union, the world's worst nuclear disaster occurred when an explosion took place during a routine systems test in reactor 4 of the Chernobyl nuclear plant. The nearby town served as the base for the first responders, but was later evacuated due to the presence of harmful radiation. In the decades that followed the disaster, rumors have flown around and about the cryptozoology and on the internet that the Chernobyl workers and the residents saw something very eerie in the days before the explosion. So reportedly, there was a winged creature seen flying over the town on numerous occasions. A few of the workers at Chernobyl saw the creature hovering over the plant. And what's even weirder, those who claimed to have seen the creature were plagued by nightmares and harassed by threatening weird phone calls, and many claimed that the creature resembled a man-like bird with red eyes, and some came to refer to it as the Black Bird of Chernobyl. So, you know, was this the same creature from the Silver Bridge disaster, or was it like a big black bird? So, according to Lauren Coleman, who's the author of the Mothman, the Mothman and Other Curious Encounters. He says that the reports of the Mothman Chernobyl sightings are entirely based on fictional accounts from the 2002 Mothman Prophecies movie. He said the Chernobyl story, the Galveston hurricane, Mothman tie-in, and other examples given in the 2002 movie were pure fiction. He said right after the movie was released, various websites posted the Chernobyl Mothman reports as factual, but there is not one thread of evidence that any winged weirdies, is what he calls it, were witnessed before the Chernobyl accident. But it's a bit of movie fiction that has moved into pseudo-factoid cryptozoology.
Interesting.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we have more stories to tell, but I don't know. Is it one of those things where it's like, you know, scene of a crime or an accident and police are there getting reports from everyone? You know, the firsthand, the eyewitness reports and every, you know, there, or the stories, there have been stories where there's like an accident and somebody appears and helps, you know, the victim out of the car. And they're like, oh my gosh, you know, everybody saw him. And then where did he go? And nobody knows. And he looked like a paramedic or a doctor, but none of the first responders can begin to identify who it is, or doesn't make it any less real. Was everybody crazy? Is everybody high at the same time? I don't know. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, in a situation like that, though, there's so many crazy things going on mm-hmm. that you just never know.
Mm-hmm.
You just never know.
You don't. But, I mean, so many of the same accounts. Crazy. Is it coincidence?
It is. I don't know. Or is it kind of a frenzy feeding off of each other? Imaginations, you know, because once you're told the story... Are you looking for it now? I don't know.
This sounds
so far fetched to me.
I don't know. I think there's so much out there. I mean, people believe in fairies. People believe in we believe in other planes. We believe in. So I can't definitively say that this isn't something that is impossible, or this isn't something that's possible. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's, I mean, anything's possible. Anything's yeah. possible.
And it really could be for good. It could.
That is your optimist side. I'm not feeling it. It's scary.
No, I mean, it could be wicked for sure. It could be bad. Yeah. But we don't know. I mean,
no, we don't. No, nobody knows for mm-hmm. sure what this Mothman story is all right. about. We don't know.
And is it causing these disasters? Is it warning people about the disasters? No one knows.
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I would like to, the positive side of me would like to think, yeah, it's a warning.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like you said, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? So, Mothman appeared at the site of the I-35 West Bridge collapse. The Mothman was spotted at yet another bridge collapse in 2007. Eerily enough, the I-35 West Bridge in Minneapolis, Minnesota was open for traffic in 1967, the same year the Silver Bridge collapsed. Then on August 1st, 2007, after a month of Mothman sightings, the I-35 West Bridge collapsed during rush hour, taking the lives of 13 people with it and injuring 145 more. Reports of the Mothman began trickling in on June 27, 2007, preceding the collapse by a mere month. Many claimed to see the humanoid creature flapping its massive wings in the surrounding area and at the bridge itself. An Illinois woman witnessed the creepy cryptid while driving just outside of Stewartsville, Minneapolis, on June 27, 2007, called paranormal radio show host George Noory on Coast to Coast AM and described the creature as having a huge wing about the width of a Ford. Crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to her. I'd like to hear the story from her.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I bet we can find it somewhere.
It's just... It's such a far-fetched story to me.
I don't know. I don't think it's that far-fetched. People claim to see all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Angels and demons and fairies and...
A Mothman with red eyes.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's crazy. I really don't. I mean, could it be that everyone is having visions of the same thing? And I mean, it's possible, and it could be because they've heard it before. I don't know what would make you think of Mothman when you're like witnessing an accident or a bridge collapsing or, I mean, whatever the case, some kind of disaster. But I'm sure it could happen. And like you said, some people are looking for things.
Yeah.
So they're constantly looking. But I mean, we don't know that that's true for all of these people or any of them. We have no idea.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows?
Mm-hmm. On November 13th, 1966, in Salem, West Virginia, Merle Partridge heard a loud noise outside of his home 90 miles from Point Pleasant. During an interview in Eyes of the Mothman, he recalled his television making a high-pitched whining sound and his dog barking wildly. After going outside to investigate, Partridge was startled by two glowing red eyes that belonged to no animal he'd ever seen before. He also described eerie flashing red lights that seemed to be dancing around. His hunting dog took off after the creature, and that was the last he ever saw of either. He went out to search for his dog with friends the next day, but the dog was never seen again. The combination of hundreds of Mothman sightings in the area that year, claims of red lights dancing over the TNT plant, and electrical interference during these sightings has led to speculation that the Mothman might have extraterrestrial origins. Dun dun dun.
So he might be E.T.
Might be E.T. Mm-hmm. Do you have any more Mothman stories?
Let's see. I have got on April 10th in 2009, the residents of La Junta in the Mexican state of Chihuahua. Is that how it's said, Chantel?
Mm-hmm.
Chihuahua. Began noticing a strange creature. He was tall and hairy with two expansive wings and wide. He had bloodshot eyes. One young student reported that the creature chased him. He said those were the 15 minutes of maximum despair. And he chose to remain anonymous during his interview. And it was during this time that the area began to see the rise in swine flu cases tied to the 2009 outbreak. Two other witnesses, Angela Mendez and Viviana Ledesma, claimed to have heard the creature in an apple orchard near a cemetery. Some believers theorize that the creature terrifying the residents of Chihuahua was, in fact, the Mothman.
Interesting.
Yeah, so he likes dogs and apples.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe I'm starting to believe.
Dogs and apples.
No.
All right. In September of 2006, in La Crosse, Wisconsin, Awahali, a Cherokee man, and his son were driving down an isolated stretch of road at night when the Mothman attacked them. In an interview on Monster Quest, he shared his encounter. Awahali told how the creature flew alongside and then directly in front of their windshield, close enough to touch. They got a really good look at it, describing it as bat-like and fleshy, with sparse hair and red eyes the size of road reflectors. He described the monster's high-pitched screech that gave him vertigo and made them sick to their stomachs. The man's son pulled over and threw up on the side of the road. And after returning to the location a few days later, in the daytime, of course, all they found left behind was a deer carcass they later blamed on a poacher. Interesting. So what did they see that was so large in size with eyes red like road reflectors right up on their windshield?
Okay, so they saw all this, mm-hmm. but yet they got out of their cars to puke. Mm-hmm. No, I would be.
Well, it also gave them vertigo.
Hitting the gas and getting the heck out of there, vertigo or no, I'm running. I am driving as fast as I can. I am not getting out of my car in the least.
Mm-hmm.
Vertigo or not,
yeah.
Summon all of my will mm-hmm. and run like hell.
Yeah, or drive like hell.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I will be burning rubber getting out of there.
Yeah. No, agreed. I can't say that I would have been brave enough to get out of my car.
No. Mm-mm. Yeah. I would have puked into the back seat doing anything. Just get out. There's no way I'm going to get out of my car if something like that was on the outside.
Oh, yeah. All right. Here's another one. On September 10th, 1978, a group of miners in Freiburg, Germany came face to face with a seemingly headless creature with glowing red eyes on its chest, blocking the mine's entrance. At first, they thought it was a man in a trench coat, but they quickly realized it was not a coat, but unfurled large black wings. The men remained in the mine entrance, stunned and staring at the creature until it let out a blood-curdling screech that sent the miners scrambling out. About an hour later, the men felt a seismic rumble and witnessed a plume of dust shoot from the mine as it collapsed. If the men had gone to their stations in the mine as usual, the majority of them would have died. It appeared as though what they dubbed the Freiburg Shrieker saved their lives. Interesting.
So they're attributing it as a creature of warning.
Right, as a lifesaver.
Which is one of the theories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. I don't know. So in the other cases, I mean, I really don't know. It could have stood on the bridge and blocked the way. I mean, I don't know what it could have done to prevent the deaths or all the injuries. I mean, I don't know if that's what its job is, if it's a creature here to warn.
Because if his job is to warn people, he's not doing a very good job of it.
Maybe he thinks he is. Maybe that's really mean, Murray Rose.
Well,
maybe he's like, damn, girl.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe. No one ever said I was nice.
That's true.
But... okay, so the mine, okay, he actually blocked their entrance.
Right.
So that was actionable. That was trying to prevent it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't know.
I don't know either. And hopefully I never know.
No.
I don't think it's for me to know more information on Mothman. Yeah. Like, I don't need a...
I can go my entire life without seeing this creature.
Yeah.
I don't want to see this creature.
As could I. Many sightings, though. I mean, all over the world. All over. And the sightings don't always go hand in hand with a disaster of some kind. Sometimes it's uneventful. I guess the big event, the main event, is just seeing Mothman himself, which is enough for me.
Well, and people just, they lose their dogs over it.
Yeah. Yeah. They get technology interference. My TV was scrambled. Yada, yada. You know. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. If any of you guys have firsthand accounts or if you know someone that has a firsthand account, let us know because we'd like to know. And
yeah, if you've seen a Mothman, you definitely need to contact the show.
Yeah, and I feel like we would have already heard from you, so I don't know.
Well, Mothman, ghost stories, two different things.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, but there may be people out there who did have a sighting. But there's a lot, they're like, no one in the world's going to believe this. They're going to think I'm crazy. So I'm just going to keep this story to myself.
Yeah, that is legit.
I will say. Reach out, people.
Friends, that's our episode on Mothman. We hope you enjoyed this creepy content as much as we did. Thank you again for joining us for another Can't Miss episode and tuning in week after week. We love and appreciate you guys so, so much. Don't forget to hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Media Matters and on Instagram and Facebook at The Media Matters, where I show you even more love. Are you feeling spooky? Send your real life ghost story or stories to themediamatters@gmail.com or via DM on one of the show's social media pages, and I will personally reply. Triple promise. Want a personalized tarot reading from The Marie Rose? Be sure to submit your question to her at hellomariearose@gmail.com before the month of August is out for your chance to be selected for a reading. Are you liking the show? Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this and other podcasts you are loving. Your ratings and reviews help support the show and make it easier for others to find your faves like The Media Matters.
That was a lot.
I want to time myself one of these days. With that, you guys, it is a wrap. We're back next week with an all-new episode of The Media Matters. Same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, may your days be supernatural and extraordinary. Good night, you guys.
Good night.